It's Saturday. It's 6:05. It's the 24th of October. 10 days. And we're going to have ourselves an election for President of the United States, senators, and everything around the country. It's getting crazy. And we're going to be talking about voting. Early voting. How's it going? It's been 1 week. It started last Saturday. Have you voted? What was your experience? We're going to get into that on the show today. I want to do a special shout out to my good friend in Florida who's listening in, Adam Lewis and Yvonne Lewis. Yes, I called her Yvonne Lewis. I hope she's listening and she's smiling. And next Saturday, we are going to talk about, obviously, it'll be the final countdown to the election on Tuesday the 3rd. But we will also talk about the rollout of open enrollment next Saturday in healthcare. Dean is one of those guys like you and as well as Denise that want to hear about the possibilities. We're going to be talking about how these healthcare programs are changing dramatically and out of pockets just keep going up, and so do the premiums. But for tonight's show, more or less, we want to talk to you, the listener. We want to talk to you and get your input. How's the early voting gone for you? Have you been able to get out there and vote yet? If you haven't, why haven't you gone? Have you experienced long lines? Did you wait a really long time to vote? Or did you get in and out 1, 2, 3? That's what we want to hear. And you can call us at 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. And we're going to get really in depth. I think this is going to be a great show. I'm excited. Welcome, Dean. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Pat?
You know, talking to your wife earlier today, that was pretty enlightening. I mean, when I hear about voter suppression, I never understood it. But you're right. You know, when you look at certain parts of the country and, everybody has early voting. I mean, people need to get out and vote early. But like you said earlier on the conversation, like when you look at Houston, they have one drop box for millions of people. That's absurd.
I know. Well, they've gone back and forth in the courts to see if they could stop it or not stop it, or if they had to put out more boxes or not. And right now, I guess I actually haven't looked where it is, so I'm not sure. But I think the court said they're allowed to just have one box per zip code or something, or per area code. Something like that. It's crazy. I don't know. Here in Nevada, voting seems pretty easy. There's an app. The other day, my wife went on the app and said, hey, there's no wait at the polling station near us. And it gives the wait times.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Last Saturday, the line was long. I told you I wasn't going to vote. I was going to go last Sunday, but I ended up having to go to hospital with my wife, which was a pisser. But more or less, I went on Monday. We waited 40 minutes. But you know what I found out? The perfect place to vote had been Palo Verde High School. There's no waiting line at all. And here's the thing. When you have early voting, there's no reason why you shouldn't just go and vote in person. I found it really interesting. In the state of Nevada, they made this big deal about mail in your ballots, vote by mail. And then last week, lo and behold, day one, there's our governor online voting in person. And it's my opinion that, to me, that's the way to do it. And your wife and you took advantage of a situation that works.
Right.
And you voted in person.
So let me ask you a question. Because it's actually not Palo Verde High School. It's across the street. It's a community center across the street from Palo Verde High School where the voting is. But it's right there. They're right in the same place.
And there's tons of spots to vote, by the way.
Right. There's tons of spots to vote. So this happens to be up here in Summerlin, it's more or less middle class, upper middle class neighborhoods. Does that make a difference in the lower class neighborhoods?
No, because you can vote anywhere.
I know, but is there longer lines at those places?
I went near on Centennial, right in front of Home Depot on Centennial Hills, and the line there was like unbelievable. It had to be, initially when I saw it, was about 2.5 hour long.
Right.
Right. And I'll be honest with you. I know there's, 14 days. I'm going to wait. I'll wait.
Yeah.
So I went Monday. My wife, my mom, and I, we went 40 minutes later. We voted. Now, tomorrow, I'm taking my wife and my daughter, my other daughter. One of my daughters voted today. She called. She was going to go with us tomorrow because I'm going to buy lunch after we vote. They vote, I should say. And here's what happened. She goes, Dad, I'm going to go now because there's no line. She voted within 5 minutes. So to me, if you really want to vote, you go down and you get it done. And by the way, you brought your ballots in. You don't have to.
I brought my mail-in ballot with me to turn. I turned it in at the voting station.
Right, you could do that, or you could shred it yourself.
You're supposed to. I just heard on the news you're supposed to bring it, but you didn't have to. But don't get caught voting twice. I guess I don't know.
Hey, we got Michael on the line. He's calling in right away. And the other number out here is 702-257-5396. Have you voted? How long did you wait? Did you have a bad experience? Did you mail in your ballot? And if you did vote in person, why? We go to Michael. Michael wants to make sure his vote is counted. Go ahead, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pat. I call in whenever you're on because I like you.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, I plan to mail in my ballot, and then I'm going to go down and see if it was counted. You know,
I have to tell you, I don't know if they'll be able to tell you if it was counted or not. That I don't know, but you could try. But I will sit here and tell you that if you're out there and you want to vote, you know, and you got a mail-in ballot, my suggestion would be, like Dean, you can bring it with you and turn it in. Or, in fact, you do what I did and go down there. I shredded my own ballot, went in. They just want to make sure you're who you are, and I voted.
Right. Yeah, because I just don't trust the mail-in thing 100%. But I'm kind of curious to see if it'll count, you know, if they counted it.
You know, the key here is when you go to mail your ballot, I'm going to make it simplistic. It may not be as easy as that. More importantly, you got to make sure you follow the rules of the ballot by signing off on it properly, filling it out correctly, and stuffing it correctly. Now, I know that sounds stupid
there is a certain way to do everything.
Yeah.
I saw the video. This county put out a pretty decent video on it.
Right.
Which I was surprised. And, you do have to do it right to get it counted. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what it's all about, Michael.
So I've listened to I've heard at least 10 Secretary of States from different states speak over the last couple of weeks on on various channels and various news media. And every single one of them, whether they were Republican or Democrat, including the Secretary of State here in Nevada, expresses how seriously they take it and how it's so important to count every ballot and make sure every ballot is counted and to have an honest election. I mean, for the most part, they seemed very upstanding and trying to get the public to realize that it is going to be honest, that they're going to make every attempt, everything in their power to make it honest. You know, they're going
to
do it.
They're going to try to protect the integrity of the vote.
They're going to try and protect the integrity of the vote. So, you know, that's the most important thing. We lose the integrity of the vote in this country, what do we have?
Nothing.
Nothing, you know. So
I agree.
And, whoever wins and whoever loses, the other party's got to go out and figure out what they have to do to win it back. You know, but as long as the vote counts, that's the most important thing.
Right, I know. I get it. I agree.
Michael, did your vote count the first time? Did you have a problem when they did the mail-in?
Yeah, this is the first time I'm mailing it in. So,
oh, okay.
So I don't really know. I don't like the mail-in thing. I mean, the process for mail-in, and people are confused because when you do an absentee ballot and mail-in, it's totally different.
Right.
And
it's why though, right?
What's that?
And you got to wonder why.
Yeah, I know. It should be treated the same, and it should be just a sacred thing like everything is with voting. Should be, you know. I mean, I haven't missed an election since I turned 18, and to me, it's important. I mean,
right. Well, it is important. Everyone should vote. We've had a show where we've talked about how there's got to be a better way. Maybe digitally, everybody in the country can vote digitally, you know, and maybe in the future that's what will happen. Hopefully it will.
You know, I still like old school, go down the whole, you know, it's, I don't know. I just, even if I have to stand online for 2 hours, I don't care.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm going to say, Michaels, I probably would have went down and voted in person, but that's okay. I'm glad you did. You did what you had to do. Thank you for the call.
Hey, are you up on the city council? Are you coming? Are you running?
No, I tell you, it's funny you say that, but there has been a lot of talk lately. I was actually conversed with this week regarding the potential of running in the future, and based on what I'm seeing, you know, I wish I had. If I knew COVID was going to happen, I probably would have ran. My business partner's listening, and he basically made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Do I need another partner? And I'm like, no, we're good. So the truth be told is, if and this is the truth about Nevada, I mean, being an assemblyman, I can't afford to be a politician because you make like $8,000 for 2 years. And yep. My expenses of staying away for 3 months would probably run me $10,000, so I end up losing $2,000 net. I mean, I'm sure there's ways you make money, but I mean, legitimately, I'm not running. I wouldn't run for office so I could be making all kinds of money. I'm running for office because I want to make a difference. Cool. And that was really what it came down to. Now, the city council pays a decent amount of money, but by the same token, I do have a legitimate business that I like to run. And you know, God willing, when COVID is over, I'll be back in action. And that's really what we're looking for.
Cool. I'll be looking out for you, man.
Michael, thank you for the call.
All
You know, I have a question for you, Dean. I'm going to throw it at you. You know what I think they should consider?
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's not done. On a federal election like this one, every state should be on the same program as far as how to vote, whether we have early voting, et cetera.
Right.
And I really believe...
Well, you think it should be mandated by the federal government?
I think the federal government should come up with a formula to allow everybody to vote, whether it's 2 weeks in advance, early voting. I mean, each state can monitor the balloting, but the federal government should say, you know, everybody's gets the voting is for the next... There's a two-week window for early voting. And then, of course, you have the election day.
Right.
And I think it's pitiful that they don't really open up the channels to let people vote without having issues. And, you know, when I talked to you earlier and your wife, I'd be honest with you. When you say voter suppression, like, what are you talking about? And, you know, you hear about these long lines, but, you know, every state of the union has early voting to some extent.
Right.
And so there is no excuse for people to wait to the last second and wait online for 6 to 8 hours. I wouldn't worry on, I'll be honest, I would not vote if I had to wait on the line 6 to 8 hours.
Well, you know, the Democrats have been complaining about this for a long time. So you're sort of taking a Democratic position here where, you know, because of the Electoral College and the way it works, the states have the authority. And some states seems from a Democratic point of view that they want to enhance voter suppression. I mean, they
I don't believe that, but I hear what you're saying.
Because if too many people came to vote, the Democrats would win. They're afraid of that. I'm just telling you, that's the Democratic position. That's sort of how a lot of Democrats feel. When you look at states that where people have to wait in line in poor communities for hours and hours,
But again, if you have early voting around the country, how do you have to? Why? Like, for example, here in Nevada,
I only have three booths. When I walked into the community center, there's 45 booths. If they go to vote and there's three booths, that's the other part of voter suppression. Like,
I have 45 booths.
Three booths in a place in a.
I voted in three places in my life: New York, New Jersey, and Nevada.
Right.
And I've never been in a booth where there's only three or four booths.
Right, I know. I haven't either, but that's what they claim.
Now, again, I can't make an educated assessment about what you're talking about because I've never seen that.
Right.
But I will sit here and tell you, if that were the case, if there's only three booths to vote in and you got 100,000 people, that's asinine.
Right.
That, even for 2 weeks in advance, it's asinine. And I personally wouldn't support that.
Whether it's, you know, what's true and what's not, people, you know, somebody should really find out. That's the question. Can I bring up a little bit different topic?
Sure.
Because I listened to Senator Murkowski from Alaska speak today.
Yep.
And it was an incredible speech from a standpoint of what she said and how she said it. And I don't know if you heard it. Did you hear it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so...
I know she's going to support...
Right.
But Barrett.
She gave a reason why, and I actually can understand her reasons why. She objected to, you know, someone being, you know, appointed in an election year when Obama was president, and she stood by her convictions and said, I object to it now, especially this is even closer. And she said, she talked about the bipartisan politics and how, you know, everybody's getting far more angry. Everybody's getting angrier and angrier and more farther and farther and farther apart. And she said, I can't agree with it. I don't even know what to do. But she basically said, and then she said she's voting no on the procedure, but she said on the vote that, you know, Amy Coney Barrett,
ACB.
ACB, Judge Barrett, she said she's totally qualified to be a judge on the Supreme Court. She went through her motions with her. She interviewed her. She talked to her. She believes she's totally qualified. She doesn't believe in the process, but she believes she's qualified. That's why she's going to vote for her.
That's fair.
That's sort of fair. But at the same time, she said, what we've done is hopeless. We put ourselves in a hopeless situation. She actually said that she doesn't see... you know, how the Democrats and the Republicans, because she said she's in favor of what we're trying to say, common ground, but she doesn't see how it could possibly happen. And she expressed her frustration that.
Well, I got to tell you something, Dean. In all honesty, the frustration that I see as an American citizen is the fact that we have such a divided nation. There is no excuse.
She actually said, "I don't know if there's hope."
I have to agree with her. I mean, you know what's funny? When you hear, again, regardless of your party affiliation, when you hear that this is going to be the most important election of your lifetime, and the reasons behind it, this is the first time I actually hear it. And I'm like, you know what? It might be because of the fact that he was in power makes the rules. And unfortunately, the golden rule this year could be whoever wins. And it's scary. Yeah. And Trump said it in one of the debates. He said, the first one, he said, you know, victory has, you know, winning, voting has consequences if you win. Right. And you know what? These consequences will impact everybody. Right. We're going to go to, we got a caller named Frank. Right. And Frank wants to say, asked about voting with the ballot and mailing in your ballot. Frank, go for it.
My question is, you go in and you vote. Now, let's just say somebody decides to send their ballot in after the fact. It goes to a post office, obviously, but then where does it go?
It goes to the voter bureau, and they tally the votes. And what I can tell you is, if you mail in your ballot and you voted in person, and they coordinate it and they see that you voted twice, you're going to have a problem.
No, I get that part, but my question is: are there people from both sides of the fence taking these? Because
yes, definitely.
And that's a guarantee. There's
people from both sides that monitor it.
Yeah, and there's been arguments about that, because there's been some spots where there's only one side, not both sides, and that I disagree with. But, you know, again, when you look at – if you really want a fair and balanced voting process, it's my opinion that you should have equal people on both sides that are there serving everybody that's involved. And if they're not there in balance, then you got issues, because that's how ballots could be tossed, et cetera. We really need, and especially because it's 2020, there's no excuse for stuffing the ballot machines. There's no reason why we can't have it done the easy way. And again, I will sit here and say, every state has early voting. I don't understand for the life of me, I'm 59 years of age, why or how it's not possible that people cannot vote correctly and go down and get it done, or fill out a ballot and submit it properly. Now, I can understand once you mail it, you're taking pot luck. I do believe it's smart to go down in person and make your choices.
Absolutely.
And I did it, and I wasn't gonna. I refused to vote via mail. It wasn't gonna happen.
Well, hey Frank, I think it was Channel 5. They did a pretty in-depth interview with the Secretary of State, and he took.
No, that was the registrar. Process. That was the registrar. That was Joe Gloria.
No, the Secretary of State.
No, it was. She's a female. I was Barbara Sagavsky.
No, the Secretary of State is
Barbara Sagavsky.
Then who?
That was the registrar you're talking about, Joe Gloria. Trust me.
Okay. All right. So then that's who it was. Who was in charge of the mail-in voting? He took the reporter through each step of the mail-in ballot process and exactly what they do. So I'm sure you could probably go to YouTube and find it.
Well, then I got to look at it this way. Then this has got to be a complete landslide. There's to me no way that the Democrats have a shot in Nevada. I don't care what anybody says.
It's a good point.
Well, I don't agree with that. The Democrats won last time.
They won last time.
Unions, most of the unions back the Democrats in this state.
Not right now. But you know, you want to know, Frank and Dean, let me just sum this up this way for you both.
We'll have to see. I mean,
hold on. Here, Dean, trust me. I'm going to go on your side. You have to understand what I'm about to tell you.
All right.
The reality, Frank, is this. The majority, so let's say there's 100,000 voters. There's at least, I would say, and that number is not accurate. I'm breaking it down, simplifying it.
No, I know.
There's 60% would be registered Democrats versus 40% registered Republicans. Now, that number, that's to make it easier. It's probably like 57 to 39, and then there's 18% in the independent.
Right.
Follow me? So that's how that's more reality. So there's more registered Democrats than there are Republicans. Okay? And so the reason that Republicans sometimes lose is that they'll jump ship. And sometimes Republicans will jump ship. But the key voter in the balance is really the independent voter. Right. If the independent voter is swayed one way or the other, that's that makes the difference.
Or if someone doesn't get to the ballot box.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Mm. I just think the larger percentage, there's always going to be one side or the other that's not going to go to the ballot box, but I just think the percentage of the Republican side or whatever you want to call it is going. I just think they're going strong.
There's an extreme voter turnout. There's no question. So
far, we don't know. You know, again, Tuesday the 3rd will determine that how many people actually voted.
Right.
I mean, I drive through my neighborhood. There's probably 300 houses inside my gate here, and probably, let's say, 25 to 30 Biden signs. Now, you see a couple of Trump signs, but I talk to everyone around here. They're all on the Trump side. They obviously don't want to get their house painted or some nutcase or flatten their tires.
That's happening. That's happening. You know what's sad?
I don't know about the state of Nevada, but in the country, it's going to be tough for anything to be a slaughter, just because of the electoral map. I mean,
no, I'm just talking Nevada. I really think Nevada's going to really flip hard big.
All right, well, we'll see.
Hey, you know what? We're 10 days away, baby. 10 days and counting.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, anything can happen. There's no question. It's really hard to tell everybody. I can tell you that. Democrats, they're voting and hoping, but they're not. You know, after 2016, nobody's sure. Nobody believes the polls anymore. So I don't know.
We're gonna get into that in the second half hour.
And in Nevada, if there was a guy named Carmine, he'd have our side about a 6-1 favorite to landslide this.
I like that. Carmine would definitely be rocking and rolling.
I'll take that bet.
All right,
what do you consider landslide?
Probably get 65% of the vote.
I'll take that bet.
I'll tell you right now, landslide is 55-45, 58-42.
If there was a bookmaker out there named Carmine. Listen, I got to go, fellas.
Thank you for the call, Frank.
I'll take that bet. 65-40.
If you get 65-35, that's a romp. Now, we have another Frank. But I want to wait till at the end of the break. I want him to give him the full opportunity to share his position on the older voter machines.
Right.
But, you know, it's really interesting because when you look at where we're at right now, we had a big debate this week, and your wife brings this up as well. How do you have early voting before all the debates are done?
Yeah, I know.
And I'll tell you the other thing that's interesting, and I'm going to throw this out there. I don't want to get into that story, but here's the deal. For about a month, Biden kept saying, vote early, vote now, vote early, vote now. Did he know there was going to be BS coming down the line? You got to wonder. I mean, does that BS, is it going to make a difference? I don't know. I think what Donald Trump did Thursday could make a difference in this respect. He actually acted civil and like a president.
Right.
Had he done that in the first debate, I think it's a no-brainer. And I will say this. I will go on the record to say this right here and now. If Donald Trump would have taken the approach of being a little bit more presidential likable instead of pissing everybody off, there is no race. This is a walkover. That's
probably
my opinion.
He would have won Florida and Pennsylvania for sure. That's all he really needs to do.
Well, no, he needs to win. Now, that's funny. I don't want to get into that now, but I will. Florida,
yeah.
Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania his way or he's a loser.
Right.
If he loses one of the big ones, he's done.
If he loses Florida, he's done.
He's not going to lose Florida. I'm confident in that. But he's going to win Ohio. But it's Pennsylvania.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I would. I'm telling you right now, based on what I'm hearing, the numbers are really favoring him in Florida. Here's the problem. He has to win Pennsylvania. Now, Michigan, I think he'll win. Here's the problem. I don't know if he's going to get Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's up for grabs for two reasons. They got a lot of COVID going on right now.
Yeah.
But it depends. And they stopped the criminal activities have stopped, so people forget. We're going to go to a break, Dean. We come back. We got Frank. And if you're out there and you want to call in, this is a great time. We'd love to hear from you. 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your opinion. Did you vote? Did you vote by mail? How was your experience? Share it with us. We'll be right back after this.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. A lot of lawyers promise a lot of things. No fee unless we win. The consults are free. Of course they offer that stuff. All lawyers do that. But will they promise not to take more money than you at the end of your case? No. When you call me, that answer's yes. I'll never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
Call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Kelly with Westar Credit Union. Welcome back, Las Vegas. Welcome back to dining out, to shopping in person, happy hour with friends, going on hikes, and everything else that makes living here so special. We are excited to make our amazing city more vibrant than ever before. Things are finally getting back to normal. It's important that we focus on what really matters. People you can count on, doing what's best for each other, and being a part of something meaningful. Join us, Westar Credit Union, where you matter. Visit bankwhereyoumatter.com to learn more.
When the coronavirus struck your community, what if you had no soap, masks, food, medical care? This is the reality for the world's most vulnerable people. But there's hope. Children International is helping provide children and families in poverty with the critical essentials they need to survive. Things like food assistance, hygiene education, medical help, and financial aid. To learn how you can help, go to children.org/help today.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Travis Scribner, managing partner of Westpac Wealth Partners, interviews some of the most successful business owners for insight into what makes both them and their business run. Tune in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, or podcasts on iTunes.
Back for round two of Common Ground. The phones are lighting up. I can tell we have three callers. We're going to go to the first guy named Frank because you know what? He's my man, and I made him wait. I want to give him the time to speak his mind. Hey, Frank, how you doing? Are you voting?
That's what every good libertarian does. I crossed my party for the sister. You know, I did. It was hard for me to break away. As Reagan said about the Democrat Party when Papa Bush said, read my lips, no new taxes. And I woke up as a young man and said, we're getting good cop, bad cop between these two parties. And a professor at one of the community colleges there in South Bay, California, Redondo, Manhattan Beach area, I'd given up on the country. And he gave me some pamphlets on libertarian, and I got rejuvenated. But the thing I noticed was the big charade on the going back to Bush and Gore. And you know, you got to remember, we still trusted that it was the fake stream media and has been going all the way back to Edward R. Murrow. He was a double agent communist. And you know, McCarthy's mistake was he was 10% wrong. 9 out of 10 guys he arrested were communists. FDR had 44 communists in his cabinet. Yeah, that word is real. To your guest there, Pat, there is no concessions with communists. They do not. They get a toe in the door. They're going for two. They never give back anything that they win in a negotiation.
Well, neither do the Republicans. But this is you're talking about division and partisanship and making it worse. You're not giving anybody credit for their own opinions and why they feel that way. If someone's a Democrat, why do you think they're a Democrat? Why do you think they feel that way?
Communism is an opinion, man. It is a way of life. And it's
but
a
Democrats
way of life.
Democrats aren't communists.
He's not saying all Democrats.
Well, okay,
let's talk about libertarian. You know what? What do you think? How do you think anybody can be a libertarian in this country? Have you read the Libertarian Platform?
I'm all for freedom, dude.
Freedom of what? You think that that we that our infrastructure here just comes from nothing, that you don't the money you need for infrastructure to run the cities the way they need to be run comes from where would it come from? You think
Hey, I never said I was against tax. I'm just against the way it's done, but I'm just going to get to the point of two things, Pat. And that is the so-called antiquated system of voting. It wasn't. It was Chad's. And once you put in your ballot card, it wouldn't read if you didn't punch the Chads out right. That was on you, the voter. But once you put a stack in and that machine counted, it was good as the money machines count today. And it was fast. It was a little, wouldn't be as fast as computers, but excuse me, you can still hack into the computers today. And now what we're going, mail-in voting was only for one group of people. Those guys overseas manning the posts, putting their life on the line 24/7. That was all mail-in voting was for. Well, what happened to, this is going to take too long. We're getting roughshod over this phony media we've got. And you have to go back into history.
What do you think of what me and Pat have discussed about how voting should just be done digitally? You should have your Social Security number and a code to get into your system on your phone and into an app on the phone and vote. And
I'm gonna take it further. That you have to go back to who you guys did cover some important things about, hey, we've lost the sacredness of the vote and who was originally allowed to vote. And I'm going to leave you three with this because you got other callers and we're going to have another week to talk about this. But I don't believe this. I know this to be fact. If you don't own your land, if you don't have an honorable discharge, or you haven't done two tours of jury duty, you don't vote. If you're on any kind of government subsistence other than what you paid for, like Social Security or Medicaid, if you need the safety net, you cannot vote anymore, regardless of those three. Good day, Jim.
Oh, brother, yeah, I just told you, that's a little ridiculous. Just in the hard times, you can't vote. I mean,
it's an interesting philosophy. Here we got another caller. We're going to go to JD. JD, thanks for waiting. How are you, JD? Here you go.
JD, you got me?
Yes, sir. We got you.
JD?
Two gentlemen, Frank is right on the money. Great call, Frank. Dean, regarding suppression of votes, obviously you weren't watching in 2016. Reno kept the polls open till 9 p.m. North Las Vegas till 10 p.m. The University of Arizona, they were there till 2 a.m.
Well, that's the law. If you're there,
no, it wasn't the law. It wasn't the law. They actually, Joe Gloria, I was going to say that. He ate my lunch on this one.
They let the people come after 7 p.m.
Joe Gloria did that on his own without the Secretary of State's approval.
Okay. You know it, Pat. Now,
that's true.
You're talking about Gloria. Laxalt, I'm surprised, Pat, you don't know this or talked about it, is now suing Gloria because of the machine.
And we lost.
Checking the verification of signatures. He changed the 50% verification.
To 40%, and they lost today.
In April without any notice or notification.
And they lost. And JD, I'm trying to tell you, in the RJ today, they lost.
They lost.
AG's office.
Coming back at it again.
Well, I hope so. But the AG's office came at it. I agree. The lack of consistency. I'm not a Joe Gloria fan, and I'll be honest, because what they did two years ago, they made an announcement in certain areas. Said, "Hey, guess what? We're gonna extend voting to midnight," and people got there after the fact and voted after supposedly it was supposed to be closed.
Exactly.
That's a fact, Dean. That's not BS.
I don't know how there's voter suppression, Dean, with 20 days ahead of election time.
Well, we're not talking about Nevada.
But in general.
Nevada's been,
that's all over the country,
no,
Dean.
Well, listen.
We used to vote on November the
3rd. It's amazing how right-wing wackos don't even take into consideration that there's another point of view and what it possibly could.
Who's the right-wing wacko?
Listen, you can sit there and spew Hannity and Rush and Levine and Levin.
I didn't talk any Hannity or Levine. Who's the right-wing wacko,
Dean? You're just viewing their talking points. You're not listening to the other side.
About Nevada. That's all I'm talking about.
Okay, so if Nevada made a mistake, they made a mistake.
That's a pretty big mistake on election day for a president. That was 2016, Dean.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's not a lie, Dean. I was involved with that case there.
The polls closed. You're not allowed to vote, no matter how long it takes.
This is not made up, Dean. This is on the record, sir.
So did they do something about
it or no? No, they couldn't.
Well, of course not, because the Democrats control the legislature.
That's true, too,
and
Dean.
And I'm surprised Attorney General Aaron, who has Aaron Ford, who has four criminal charges against him when he was in college, felonies, disagreed with the decision of the 40 to 50% verification of the signatures. I wonder why.
You know, that's the other part. That goes back to the whole what we're trying to say. I mean, we need to have more integrity in our voting. There needs to be more balance.
Pat, we need to have more cops on the ground. We need to have more people watching because they
We're not. We agree. We agree with that.
Here's the thing, JD. The Democrats think the Republicans cheat. They have their whole valid reasons why, too.
Dean, and then the Republicans think
the Democrats cheat. So how are we ever going to go forward with that?
Dean, you don't have a record of history, I'm sure, going back to 1960 when Mayor Daley in Chicago and in West Virginia, they literally stole the election. JFK stole the election from Nixon. It's been proven. Nixon, the statesman that he was, refused to challenge it because it would have put the country into chaos with the Soviet Union.
I know he didn't want to challenge the election, but he just said, no, I lost. He admitted defeat.
No, he didn't say, no, I lost.
He said, no, we lost. I'm not going to do it. He knew that it would cause problems. There's no question.
He never got credit for it. Then you had the senator from Minnesota, where 1,300 felons stole the election and voted illegally, and you had the comedian won the election, even though the senator about 8 years ago from Minnesota, the Republican, was ahead by 1,000 votes, but he lost by 300 votes because 1,300 and some felons were allowed to cast their votes illegally.
Now you had mail-in ballots
in Washington State, and the governor.
So you're not bringing up any Republican any time that it's happened to
I'm
a Republican. You think that it's never happened to a Republican? You think that Republicans never cheated?
Washington stole two governorships.
In the last eight years, Dean, I got to tell you, he's got a good point.
Tell me right now if you think a Republican has ever cheated then.
Yep.
Back in the 20s. They have. I guarantee you they have.
That's all I'm saying.
In Podunk, Arkansas.
Wherever, it doesn't matter.
New York City.
You think Republicans never cheated?
Gentlemen. Hey, whoa, calm down. We don't want to argue here. We have other callers.
We are talking national elections and governors and the presidency of the United States.
So you think that it's only Democrats? I mean, that's so absurd. I can't even stand it.
The ones that count, the big elections.
I'm not saying that they don't, but I'm saying it's not. It's both sides. You're just saying it's only Democrats.
I mean, come on. You're changing my words, Dean.
You're only bringing that up. You're only bringing up Democratic situations. You're only saying Democrats cheat. What do you mean I'm changing your words?
Why don't you bring up one Republican that cheated and counter me?
What?
Why don't you bring up a Republican that cheated and counter?
I've seen lists and lists. Next week, if you want a list, I'll have a list.
Bring it up. Next week, I'll be listening.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, JD. We go to another call. We got Al, line two. He thinks the Dems are committing voter fraud. Al, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm new to Las Vegas, to Nevada. I haven't voted since high school, almost semi-retired. And, you know, I'm a big Trump fan. And, you know, I've been on Twitter, and Adam Laxalt, you know, we just put a lawsuit on. Now, the thing is, you guys said it's over, but actually, you can go look it up. There's going to be a hearing on Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Laxalt asked him, hey, you know, we got to stop the voting until we get this all straightened out. The judge denied that, but he allowed a hearing on Wednesday. So
even better.
I'm telling everybody in Nevada, you know, I don't know all the details, but Donald Trump says that we can be poll watchers. Be a poll watcher if you care, you know, and you may be a witness even by a signature, and you may be a witness in the case. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's a brilliant idea. Yeah. I think you're making a lot of good points.
I don't know the actual state. Every state's a little different, I think, about if you can be a poll watcher or not. I'm not sure.
No, yeah, that's a problem. Well, the thing is that if you look at the lawsuit, Adam Laxalt is one of the plaintiffs, and there's another guy who used to work for one of the casinos, because I've been reading it, you know, but I'm getting up to speed. I'm more like a businessman, supporting Trump on that. And now, you know, it's come. I mean, if I want Trump to win, I got to get into the voting scene. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I've been doing the reading, but you can go read the article, the Nevada Independent. they got a whole webpage, and you can go read it.
And the Nevada Independent is definitely more left leaning. So that's a good. That's
no,
a
I
great
totally
column.
Understand that.
No, I don't mean that. I'm saying that. I was saying that for Dean's edification, Al.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that, and I know they are, but at least there is a paragraph where it says in there, hey, you know what? It's not over until Wednesday. So we got until Wednesday. So what I'm going to try to do is go become a poll watcher tomorrow and try to get my signature in there and get into Adam Laxalt and let him know, hey, listen, man, if you need me, man, I'm ready to rock. I'm a witness. You know what I'm saying? And they're supposedly the mail-in thing. You know, there's more mail-in voters right now coming in, more ballots coming in through the mail than there are people coming in and voting in person. Most of the people that are voting in person are Republican. So we're beating them in that. But the mail-in voting is where the Republicans are losing. And I suspect they're doing harvesting behind the scenes and they're being very low profile about it. Because I don't see anything on the internet about the harvesting numbers or what's going on in the harvesting domain here in Nevada. What do you guys think about that?
Well,
and that's what I called about because I don't know anything about harvesting. Go ahead.
What I could say about the harvesting in Nevada, where there was a problem initially, you were supposed to be a registered harvester, so to speak, and have to show identification, put that together. And about 60 days ago, the governor overruled the Secretary of State and said that doesn't have to be the case, which I would definitely say was a mistake. And if you go back to the 16 elections, or actually it was 18, in Orange County, if you go up by 10 o'clock at night that evening in Orange County, the Republicans were all doing well. And by 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, after the voter harvesting, they got slaughtered. And they didn't lose by like close, they got crushed. And so those are some of the issues that people are looking at. And honestly, I believe this. If you're going to vote, you're going to be able to bring in a bunch of ballots, you should actually have to fill out and get a card that certifies you to do it.
You
got to be certified, Al. If you're not certified, you should not be able to bring multiple ballots in unless it's your mom's ballot and you have the same last name. That's different.
And you're right. And they changed the laws. You know, they changed that bill AB 214 or something like that. Just got, you know, they just they snuck that in right before the election.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. What it comes down to right now is it'll be interesting to see exactly where everything flies. Al, I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you very much.
Take care. You know, I'll throw this other question out. Do you think having a debate this late with 60 million votes already cast made sense? I mean, those are some of the things you could chime in at 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. We'd like to hear your opinion on that one. We go to Will or Bob. Usually called Will, but it's Bob. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Pat. So I was telling the young lady, no, I get to be whoever I want to be, okay? So anyway, if I might make a suggestion here, okay? My premise is that everything has a track and trailer source, a point of origin. That's the greatest mystery of mankind is what is our origin? What is our purpose? Now, what I'd like to see is a credit card-like voting card that's issued to each of us as American citizens. There's ATMs all over the place. There's all kinds of transactional card capabilities. And then what happens is we vote that way through a card. And the reason for that is that I can do a transaction there in 60 seconds across the world. I can buy an orange and bring it back the next day and hope I paid cash. So I think we need to go to individual cards, and then we need to be able to say, but for example, I don't care whether you want to know how I voted or not. I would tell you because I really don't care. So I think the first thing is you should be able to divulge your vote that you cast. And when you do, there's a receipt of that history that gets sent to you one way or another. And then if we continue to do this, which I do not think is correct, you're right. These should be registered people because the voting process is one of the most foundational constructs of our society.
Right.
Now here's the point. Most of my friends are moving towards the information. They think they're going to intercept the information transmission, which means they're going to try to fudge the results. But if anything goes wrong with this at all, if anything stinks at all, the president should declare the election null and void, let it finish out, and redo within 10 days. Now, back up a moment here, because I'm dual-tracking you, gentlemen. I'm not only suggesting the negative aspects of outcomes, and I'm trying to project something for restructuring. So So if we come back to the voting process itself, anybody who contaminates, massages, if they distort the dissemination process of that information, I think there should be the death penalty. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. I use that term because I'm trying to show you how important this is.
Right.
So voting allows us to have a consensus based upon our moral and assimilated values that we share with each other as Americans. Anybody who goes to that foundational trust, the greatest honor you can have is convey your true thoughts to another person. And those people who would do that, I really think they should be shot. If we don't stop right now and begin to reconstruct, everything else that we begat or begotten from these eras are going nowhere. If we don't stabilize right now our voting process, the only thing next to this is the Supreme Court. The importance of this is just overwhelming and undeniable.
Right. Well, I don't disagree with you, Will. I mean, I think, you know, voting card, it makes too much sense in some way. You know, like,
unfortunately, that's the problem. It makes sense.
We should have voting cards. If you mess with the election, there should be a serious crime. The death penalty, maybe. I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but it should be an extremely serious punishment for it. And,
yes,
you know,
because, and the reason for that, gentlemen, I don't want to interrupt you. I don't know whether we're having a discussion or whether I should just hang up.
No, you're doing good. You were doing good. I got another minute, and we have a candidate that wants to talk, chime in on as well. Keep going.
All right. Now I forgot what I was going
to say. We were talking about the card and proper voting, and if you get caught, there should be a serious penalty. Go right ahead.
Yes, and the reason for that is when you begin to look at a society that's in transition or change, and believe you me, something's coming. I don't care nobody can deny that. But when we begin to look at using money as a means to construct a society that could be ill-willed or the impact is way past anything we ever dreamed of. When you look at the magnitude of these decisions that are being made, I really think we have to raise the pain to those people who do not respect the morals. Many of us that struggle every day to hold foundation, to hold the truth, and be as good to our neighbors as we can. Those people who would take that from us to deconstruct us, I really think we need to talk about shooting them as opposed to paying somebody $59,000 a year as a guard to watch you watch TV. I mean, we really need to begin to heighten and clarify what our purposes are.
Will, I got to tell you something. It may be dramatic, but in some cases, maybe we need to get real crazy and then we'll straighten things out.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time and your call. We have two other calls. I want to get them before the end. But most importantly, I got a candidate from District 29. I hope I say this correct. Is it Delisle?
It is.
Properly. Dr. Steve, how are you? Good to talk to you again, sir. You heard the show. By the way, chime in. What do you think about this, about the voting integrity in Nevada and the nation?
Yeah, I didn't know you were on. I actually just caught you on the way to the gym, but I wanted to call in because, really, I just wanted to express my experience out there. I've been walking and knocking on doors since mid-July. And, when we look at the numbers in my district, which is Henderson, Green Valley, Old Henderson, Assembly District 29, Democrats have a large advantage. They're definitely doing more mail-in voting. And my concern is that people are Republicans that are used to going to their local elementary school. You know, they say, hey, that's my polling place. I go there every year. They're expecting to go there again. And I'm not sure on election night, if they wait till November 3rd, that's going to be their polling place. And
well,
so I encourage
that's
all
a great
Republicans,
point.
Get out early.
I mean, I don't know why people are waiting, Steve. I mean, I got to.
Or did they change polling places? Have they changed polling places for election day?
They do change. They're not the same places for early election. Early voting is not the same as when you do the Tuesday.
Right. Well, I know
the problem.
I know there's definitely more places for early voting, but they're changing. Did they say they're changing? Because it's all listed. If you get the ballot, it's listed. Every single polling place is listed. Early voting, election day voting, it's all listed in the ballot that you get. In the practice ballot.
For sure. And people should look at that well ahead of November 3rd. Because, again, I don't know, because several people said to me, oh, we're going to go to the elementary school. I'm not sure that that's going to be open. Like, I just don't know. You have to look at your sample ballot. And there's no excuse not to go early. I went early. It's totally secure. They asked for my name. I got the card. I went in. I went down my ballot. And so I just encourage Republicans, don't wait till November 3rd. You could get in a car accident. You could get a flat tire. And then, boom, you don't vote.
Right.
Get out tomorrow.
Hey, you know, it's interesting.
Up, guys.
I'll say this to you, Doctor and Dean. You know what I honestly believe? I don't think it's necessary. I think if you're going to have early voting at all these locations, why not have the general voting at the same locations? Why do we condense it?
I don't know. I imagine there's reasons, but there's a lot of people working at the polling places too. I know they get paid, right? And I don't know what it takes to create that organization of voting in a city like Las Vegas or anywhere in the country. But it takes a lot of people, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. I mean, a lot goes into it.
And the energy's there. They really need to do it. Doctor, I wish you all the best, as always. By all means, call on Wednesday. I'll be doing a show Wednesday. If you get a chance, give a call on Wednesday. We'll give you another shout-out. How's that? I'll be doing Wayne Root Show.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care. We go to James. James, popular vote versus Electoral College doesn't think Trump will win. By all means, James, share your opinion.
Pat, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Real quick, just a little history lesson. The biggest popular vote win of the past 50 years was Richard Nixon in 1972 against George McGovern. He got 60.7% of the vote. Ronald Reagan's number two. He got 59% against Walter Mondale in 1984.
Yeah, but didn't he win every state except for Minnesota?
Well, in the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and same with Richard Nixon. He was just a couple states in District of Columbia.
Right.
And anyway, the point is Donald Trump, let's face facts. He's not going to get 65% of the popular vote. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's possible.
Oh, I agree with that. No, we were just talking about me. The guy was joking about me running this Carmine.
The caller wasn't.
No, the caller was talking about me, James.
Carmine, the bookmaker, I'll take
no,
that.
No,
bet.
James. Yeah,
I
mean, James,
I take that.
I used to do sports talk radio under an acronym Carmine. That's what he was talking about.
Well, Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince, was known as Peter Braveheart. That was his pseudonym. So I'll be Peter Braveheart. In any event, it ain't going to happen. Donald Trump drew an inside straight to win in 2016.
Right.
And he's going to have to do the same exact thing this year. Let's be realistic.
I would agree with that.
And the problem, and I do agree with Frank. I mean, he said it. I'll say it a little bit. If you're a ward of the state, meaning if you don't pay any taxes and you receive government sustenance, I mean, why should you be able to vote? You have a vested interest in voting for the party that perpetuates big government, which obviously is the
makes
Democratic
sense.
Party.
Now that makes a lot. Now your point makes a lot more sense because the way you clarified
it. You shouldn't be able to vote. What did you say?
If you're a ward of the state, if you pay no taxes and you are on welfare, if you receive WIC, if you haven't paid taxes, why should you be able to vote? You have no interest in voting for a party that's for shrinking government and making it, which is the Republican Party, even though they've drifted leftwards. I mean,
well, because everybody's entitled to their opinion. No, I mean, the social net's there for a reason.
I know.
You know, we could do a whole show about why the social net's there. I mean, there's, you know, people have, you know, people run into problems. I mean,
I understand that. I know I'm a disabled veteran. I know that. I'm aware of that. I had to retire early as an engineer. I know, believe me, I sympathize with that. But some people, they haven't paid a dime one into the system, and yet they vote, they execute the franchise. And you have in Florida, for example, Michael Bloomberg, you have Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and John Legend, who want to pay 31,000 felons to restore their voting rights. Well, it depends on what the felony was. Okay, if it's burglary or some level 3 charge, what if it was rape? What if it was murder? Hmm. Those people should not be allowed to vote. When you do that, you forswear your right to vote. That's insane.
I can't disagree with you, James. You know, I think you're 100% on there.
I got to think about it. I don't know. I don't because
a murderer
because
or
you can
be
you can take
vote.
That so many steps farther about who should vote and who shouldn't vote. You know, if you've had an abortion, should you vote?
Well, what matters?
You know, because if you
I don't know if an abortion is a criminal offense.
Right? If you owed $185,000 when you were elected attorney general, should you be attorney general? That was Aaron Ford.
Right.
That was Aaron Ford.
Well, there's multiple stories like that. There's people, you know, there's people that have run for office that really shouldn't. They've been charged with criminal activity.
Hey, guys, I got 30 seconds.
Officer of the state, though.
James, I love the call. I got 30 seconds, not even. Dean. This was a lot of fun. This was a really good show. I thank you for all participating. And, Dean, we'll catch you next week. We're going to be doing our podcast as well next week. God bless you guys. Have a good one. And you know what? Next Saturday, our last Saturday before the election. Take care.